Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Oh yeah, you're listening to the Draft Podcast. Let's start the show.
I'm gonna fucking lick a battery. Here's a battery. I'm gonna lick it. It's got no charge. It's all good.
Good to know.
We do it. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know, but I knew the mouse game wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
So I figured I could get away with licking it.
That's nice.
And I did. It doesn't taste good though. I don't like. You know, like, if you haven't cleaned your ear in a long time?
Yeah.
And, like, you do it, and, like, something will come out? What is the equivalent to, like, the inside of a mouse? Like, what's the earwax of the inside of a mouse? Because I just tasted that.
Like, this mouse?
Yeah, like, on the inside, like, where the battery is, you know?
Yeah.
Where the tips touch.
Oh, it was a single A battery?
Double A.
Or double A? Oh, I MCO. I thought it was a 9-volt. Like that doesn't work on those.
Oh yeah, no. That wouldn't work.
It would work if you somehow were licking the top and bottom.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's why a 9-volt is, because you're connecting the positive and negative charge.
Yeah, but I don't got a fat tongue like that. Who's got a fat tongue? I feel like I've seen some fat tongues out there.
Yeah, probably.
Terry Crews has a fat tongue.
He's got a fat something.
Yeah, probably a couple fat things.
Yeah, that dude's got a hammer for sure.
Yeah, but he's got a tongue on him, because I just remember when he was doing the scene in White Chicks, and I was like, damn, I don't notice like tongue size at all. And I just remember being like, that's a tongue, you know?
It's a weird thing to say, too. Like, I don't know. You got a tongue size at all. I don't know.
Do you guys, do you ever notice somebody's tongue size?
No.
Like, you're never like, you kind of got a short tongue.
No, I've not done that.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, there's ladies out there that feel me, but, like, you know.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
I think that could make sense. Or maybe they don't have a short tongue. They're just like, you know, they got a shy tongue, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I licked the battery. No charge. But here we are, charged up. Drew?
Yeah.
Tell the people where our fearless leader is.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, look. We have to be forthcoming where we were lying to you last week. James is feeling fine. He's not under the weather. He's not sick at all. For some of you who don't know, or for all of you that don't know, he's an avid truffle hunter. He's got a nose on him like a bloodhound, and he will sniff out any of those mushrooms from miles away, you know? And, you know, he outworks a lot of those pigs out there.
He's like the pig from Nicolas Cage's Pig.
Yeah.
It's an ability that,
except alive.
He's breathing rarefied air. There's very few of him on Earth.
Yeah, it's like Toucan Sam, James, truffle pigs.
Yeah.
And like what are them dogs called with noses?
Bloodhounds?
Yeah, like a whole bloodhound gang, you know?
Yeah.
Those guys got some noses on them.
Yeah. Hey, guys, it's Super Bowl week.
You know what that means?
Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, I
bah,
am.
Bah, bah. Oh, shit, now I got to pay the NFL.
Is it Super Bowl week?
It is. That's so hilarious that, like, you're so checked out from it, you don't even realize that it.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be, fuck it. Let's just get into it.
Yeah.
I farted. All right. Why you popping tarts? You sweet, but you got no heart. cutting to the center of the peach to get to the pit, just a matchup of the icons and shit. Let's see who's the one like Neo. A battle of goats, Brad and Leo, acting their way out of a damn paper bag. The ladies say they got a different swag. One bodied up and the other got the talk. They stir fry the meat before they walk. Ain't no doubt they bring the beefs. They are my homies like KC Chiefs. They've been big dogs forever, ain't no beagles. They let that cheese steak up like Philly Eagles. Can't miss like Riri at halftime. Ain't no penny stock, they carry dimes. They may be money, but they love the art. Substance over quantity, they a la carte. In an era where you just go for the movies, these dudes remind of past because they remain must-see. It's so dope to see these dudes' gains, because when they were younger, it was growing pains. So join in as we draft their work, even if a cameo. Let's see who's the best. It's Pitt versus DiCaprio.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Matchup.
Something new for you. Every Super Bowl Sunday. Year in, year out.
Yeah.
Versus. We got a new thing. We're doing versus.
Yeah. We're going to do a world champion. We should. that doesn't work. Never mind. I was going to say that should be one of our predictions, but there's only two people to pick from. Whoever gets the third pick that round gets screwed.
Yeah.
Unless one of the first people say, I don't know.
Wait, we should be picked. We should be picking which one of the two of them is going to win the Super Bowl. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Is Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio going to win the Super Bowl?
I think Bud Light Lime is going to take it this year.
You might be right.
That makes sense. Is that still a thing, the Bud Bowl?
I wish it was.
I do know the Puppy Bowl still exists.
Yeah. And it is.
Yeah, that's on the Sunday before. That's like instead of watching the 7 hours of pregame.
Yeah,
put on the Puppy Bowl. Check that out.
Exactly. Fucking A, man. Yeah, they're going to repeat the same shit anyway, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
All they got to do is, you know, if they can get down the field and score more points than the other team, I think they're going to win.
Jim, yeah, it's all about turnovers. I feel like the people that have less turnovers, they've got a better chance at winning.
If they can get past that secondary, they will score.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about who has the most points.
Yeah.
They pay these CTE victims fucking $300 million to act like they know something.
Now let's watch this heartbreaking story of this third string defensive lineman's grandma's diabetes she's going through.
Or this one. Hey, this kid's got leukemia. Let's watch a 10-minute video package on it.
Yeah. This 95-year-older is going to her first Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh, man. That's so true. Oh, man.
All right.
I'm making fun of that. Like, I'm making fun of it.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm taking, like, great personal offense at the fact that, like, Dame wasn't in the top, is not a starter in the All-Star game. Like, I'm choosing my spots, but still.
Yeah.
Well, right. There's a lot less brain damage in the NBA. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They're absolutely.
So Goshi is first pick. So that'll be Wes today.
Oh, man. First pick.
I've never been first.
That's crazy.
Then me.
Oh, come on.
Then L.
All right. My L?
Liner.
Yeah, but why can't I just get an A?
Because last week we had two A's.
Well, that's a double A, and I just licked it. I told you it's got no charge.
Plus, if it was an A, it could be Wes Allen.
Oh. Good point. Good point.
Yeah, but you gave him A. Oh.
No, I gave him a G.
Well, yeah, you gave him a G, so I should have been A.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess
you got a K? Know. Dude, that's GAC.
Well, maybe. Yeah. We've gone too far. We can't go back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is going to be fire. We're going to, Drew, what is it? Each round is different point totals.
Yeah. So it's basically like the inverse. So We're doing seven rounds, so the first round will be worth 7 points. And the second round will be 6, third 5, and so on and so on.
And then so you have their
friends, and they have 2 friends.
And you have their filmographies broken up by points already?
No.
No, because we got to draft them.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all depends on how much we like it.
Yeah. So
I like that. That I like.
What's really fun, too, about this is because there's also great movies that maybe they didn't have such a big part in, but it can move right up on the list, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say if one person's just laying on a couch, but it's a really fucking amazing movie.
And it's a very memorable scene.
Yes.
Like they could have a moment that makes this all worthwhile.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
I have a feeling one first round pick will be about worth 14 points, I imagine.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting because we also might see somebody getting the lead early, and then all of a sudden the other person kind of takes off near the end. So
yep,
gonna be very weird to see how this thing goes down. But
yeah, like, and if I remember right, last time we did half points for honorable. So
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, here's the thing. Leo has 35 plus movies. Brad has a little bit larger of a catalog with, I think, 46 plus movies. However, it looks like Leo was able to get bigger roles quicker versus Brad kind of had a little more time up front. So it's going to be, I honestly have no idea. It's going to be a tight race.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Smoke weed every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are we ready to do this thing?
I think so. Let me do it. Did you hear it?
Nope, but I saw you hit the button. So. Okay, so my first pick, it quickly became my number 2 Tarantino movie.
Okay.
Because
you're going,
it's everything everything I love about how Tarantino tells a story is in this movie. But I'm giving this one to Leo because they're both in it, and I'm going with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay,
yeah, I think get both get the 7 points.
Ooh.
Both get the 7 points because they're both in it. They're both integral parts. So
yeah.
They're the leads. Here. They're your 2 leads. So
yeah.
We've said it.
Movie for me all time now.
We've talked about this movie.
Yeah.
The 3 of us and James together ad nauseum. It's fucking outstanding. Outstanding movie.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because what both of them do so well really kind of resonates in this movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like where Brad just kind of has this presence about him, this fucking cool vibe, this thing.
That he's very cool. Yes.
You can't help.
Cliff Booth is very cool.
You can't help but like this dude. And then Leo is just like fucking acting his ass off and is so invested in the role. So like they're great for different reasons. And this movie shows what both of them do so well. So yeah, I love it.
Yes. That. Yeah. And the difference in like Cliff Booth is the yin to Rick Dalton's yang. And that's what makes those two characters so good and so compatible together. Awesome movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's only right that the first overall pick, both of them come out swinging.
Yeah.
And just this end scene is just so fucking amazing. Like,
what a way to rewrite history.
He fights off with the fucking dog food and everything. It's just so
dude.
Good.
That is Quentin being fucking a historian of Brad, which I like that about QT. Is he's like, what do these people, these actors, actresses do incredibly well? I'm gonna keep it going. Brad Pitt, that dude eats better than anyone in movies. Like, just scenes of Brad Pitt eating is so, like, enthralling for I have no idea what reason. But he eats.
Because nobody ever eats on the screen.
Yeah.
If you ever watch, like, a lunch dinner scene, they just, like,
yeah, that, or, like, they, like, kind of pick at it and it looks kind of weird.
Or move it around on the plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitt's kind of mastered the eat, like, and he eats in so many movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that QT did the nod to him there.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man. Starting off with a fucking banger. All right. All right, Drew.
Oh, shit.
I mean, do you want to use your KA rule?
Maybe. I got to do some math here.
Oh, no, just go with what's right. Don't even think about it.
No, because I have two things that I want, but I feel like one of them won't come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, you can also spell numbers. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to go back to Tarantino.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
And this is one of my most watched movies, and it's The Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And this, and fucking Brad Pitt's performance is just so fucking good.
Yep. Yep. Yes, sir.
Man.
Arrivederci.
This hurts.
Buongiorno.
Oh, God. His accent is so fucking amazing in this.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You guys are like, this is. I shit you not. We're about to like have like five of my top 25 movies of all time.
Yeah.
To get drafted in these first couple rounds.
Yep.
Because both of these are there.
I mean, look at the actors, though. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Expected of them.
You know what's crazy about Bastards is that QT wanted Leo at first for the Christopher Waltz part.
Yeah.
But Christopher Waltz was like, that was his native tongue or whatever.
Yeah.
So he like fit it better. And Leo was kind of like, I'll go do something else or whatever. So
yeah,
I like that Leo was like, oh, go a different direction there kind of deal. And yeah, Hans Landa is one of the greatest like villain characters in a villain draft. Mm-hmm. He's in the top five of all time. So
and Christoph Waltz also, I mean, that was kind of his introduction to the larger film audience. Yeah. And what a way to come in, you know?
Yeah. You must never forget the cream.
Yeah, but the scene where Pitt comes in and they're all dressed up and he's like trying to do
Italian, yeah.
Oh God. Oh man, it's so fucking good.
What's the one thing to, I'm trying to think of his big speech. He's like, I want 10 scalps from all y'all or whatever. He's like, I want my scalps and I will get my scalps.
Oh, so, yeah. It's still upsetting. We got, it could have been Sandler as Bear Jew though.
Yeah.
Which that would have been incredible.
Yes. Never forget. We were almost given that moment.
Oh man. Oh God.
So Andy, are you keeping score?
Yep. I got it.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
I'm not going to say the score. I'm just going to keep the score. Because I don't want any of us to get, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. I wanted to make sure you were before we got too far and you thought I was.
I got it.
Yep. All right.
No, I'm keeping the score. All right. You guys, again, took two of my favorite movies of all time. But I'm going to take the one that it's kind of a toss up between Once Upon a Time and Wolf of Wall Street, which is my pick.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Wolf of Wall Street.
Fucking Tarantino and Scorsese.
Dude. Yeah,
that's where I was like, I thought this
stupid.
Was more, even
this
and then
is
I
stupid.
And then I realized that like, you know, he's been working with Scorsese for like the last 20 years, and it's like, well, this is unfair at this point. Like,
what the fuck, man?
It's like, oh, and Christopher Nolan, like.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. I was watching something on Leo, and basically he rejected a big role which ended up being okay because then he got with Scorsese and they built that relationship from their first movie that they did together.
Yep.
And then it was like off to the fucking races. But like, yeah, two QTs and a Scorsese in the first round. Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. But yeah, Wolf of Wall Street broke a record for the F word. Love that. You know, I remember seeing it. I saw it on Christmas Day. I was living in Dallas. My wife was at work, and there was this other buddy I had where he didn't have family there either. So we were like, what's more Christmas than going to Wolf of Wall Street on Christmas Day? I had no idea, like, it to the levels of what it was. And I just remember being like, holy shit, this is one of the best Christmas ever. And I haven't even, like, done family time or anything, you know? It was just such a fucking great experience. The movie was incredible. Like Leo's like dedication, like for instance, in like the whole drug scenes where he's like trying to drag himself. Oh my God. Oh
yeah. Yeah. The whole, I somehow made it home without a scratch on me or the car.
Yeah. Well, on Quaaludes.
So fucking funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's just, this is like, to me, this is like the pinnacle of what movies are, you know?
Yeah.
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 So. Whew. Wow. What a banger of a first round.
Yeah.
And it's not
kind
going
of a
down.
Ridiculous first round. It's kind of a ridiculous first round.
Yeah. One of the greatest first rounds of all time. No doubt. Yeah. But we're not dropping. Because I've got a really tough decision here.
It's like again, a good mixtape. You start hot, but you go up a little bit hotter on that second song.
Uh-huh.
Two more of my favorite movies. One of them's not coming back. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to go here just because, again, the dedication into the role and how deep he drove himself into this. You know, and you get one of the greatest like chemistries of all time with Jack Nicholson and Leo. Give me The Departed.
Yeah.
Ooh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. This was amazing. I think about the cranberry juice scene daily, like literally daily. it's so fucking good.
There's some really tense moments in the movie.
I do. It's so, like something about it that he bashes the thing. But here's the other crazy thing. Jack Nicholson brought a gun and they had no fucking clue. Nobody knew that Nicholson had a gun and he had a gun and like he like cocked it or whatever. And so that like that what you're seeing on Leo's face is absolutely real. And he was just trying to get the intensity of everything on that. And like, man, did it come through. And it was
fucking
just so
Christ,
well
dude.
Yeah.
Actors are fucking psychos.
100%. But
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who's like, you know what? You know what?
I'm going to get him.
I'm going to bring a gun on. Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, the chemistry between the two of them is like
outstanding. Outstanding.
It's one of my favorite relationships, character to character.
And like Nicholson, like I'm sure there's like some story like I heard Bogart did this to Peter Lorre during Casablanca, you know. Like, okay.
Famous scene in the Pink Panther.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, what? You're pulling out of the Pink Panther?
I didn't tell Marty.
He didn't know it was coming. Ha ha! Like,
yeah, because you're not supposed to fucking do that.
Right. Oh, man. But like, Leo's a G. He just like, there's been several things where he just like acted his way right the fuck through it.
Yeah man. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, it's I just today I listened to the, you know, It's Always Sunny podcast, and it wasn't about an episode. It was just about like acting in general.
Yes.
And Charlie said something. There was, I guess it was one of those moments when he realized that he and like somebody else kind of told him too. He's like, yeah, this is how I know you're going to be a good actor, is because he did something in some play and he like, I did something and like it hit the fake air conditioner that's there and like the front yep. plate fell off. And he just said something like, see, everything I touch goes to shit. And the guy told him, he's like, that's how I knew you were going to be a good actor, because you were so into it that it didn't break. Like you were so committed to the character and what was going on.
You stayed in character.
Yeah. It didn't break you. And yeah. I was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Drew.
Well, I knew this would come back, so this is good for me. I'm gonna go The Revenant.
Ooh,
I fucking loved this movie.
If it was just cut to the bear scene, like just that alone, like as a short film, it would be
yeah.
like
that's a short, would be, yeah.
just be like they'd be in the fucking the Smithsonian.
yeah. Yeah, and he boosted up old dude in that movie. I don't know why I'm blanking. Fuck. Why
am I blanking?
Just his other the other guy in it. Why am I
blanking? Marty?
Yes. I thought you said old Marty. I was like, who the fuck is
old
Marty?
Marty? You know, old Marty, the character in The yeah. Revenant. Old Marty.
Yeah. Fucking old Marty. But yeah, fucking Hardy. And like, even, hey, guess what? Andy's going to say something about a book. But the person that wrote the book or whatever was even like, fuck, this adaptation
yeah.
is like next level in terms of like, it's one where even the author was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
The movie did it justice and more.
Yeah.
It has intensity levels. Like when you think of like a Safdie Brothers movie, like mm-hmm. Uncut Gems or something like that, like
yeah.
where it's building like such like a it, such intense emotional reaction. Like it's one of those movies that like it's almost like an exhausting watch
yeah.
because they're really like survival movies and shit like that are so fucking ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's a scene where it's like whited out, like because normally there's like it's very dark in a lot of stuff, but there's a scene where it's yeah. like kind of like brighter in the yes. back, and I just remember Leo's like fucking baby blues just piercing through, and
yeah.
there's like ice on his beard and like blood on his face, and like that shot is just like. There's certain shots where I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like I would still frame that and put it up and just be like, that's a fucking beautiful shot. that's that shot for me.
That whole movie though. I mean,
yeah.
To be done like with all natural light in there. Oh my God. So fucking good.
Fuck man. Jeez. All right. Jeez. Oh goodness.
Go ahead.
Leo's having himself around.
Yeah.
Which it's going to switch hands here and there. That's one thing I keep telling myself.
Yep. What do you got, Wes?
Okay. Fuck.
I know.
They just both have such huge filmographies that, but you feel like if you leave something out,
yeah. This is okay, like well, this is like the film Jay-Z versus Nas.
yeah.
Hey, we could do next year.
Ooh. So I feel like if I leave this one out there, it's gonna get taken. And it's a rare occasion where Leonardo DiCaprio plays a villain, and he plays a villain so well.
Jeez.
So well. And arguably, I'd say in his top five performances ever, Django Unchained.
Yeah.
The bad guy of bad guys, for sure. A plantation owner. Doesn't get much more disgusting and despicable than that. And man, does he go for it. We all know the stories about, you know, the fucking slam his hand on the table and cutting it. And
then still going through. Oh, my goodness. And then him suggesting to use that same hand to touch her face.
Yes. Like, yes. Like fucking God. Come on. Yeah, what are we going to say that hasn't already been said? That movie fucking rules.
I love Jamie Foxx talking about Leo in this movie and Leo being like very uncomfortable with certain situations. And then Jamie just being like, you're acting whatever. And then like Sam Jackson come up, motherfucker, get it done. You know, just like Sam Jackson going Sam Jackson on him. Like,
well, I mean, it was a different time in Hollywood. Sam Jackson comes from a way different school. And
yeah. I just love the idea of like him on set, like with Jamie Foxx and Sam Jackson. And then, you know, Jamie and Sam just like, come on, Leo, fucking nail the N-word. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which makes it worse, you know, like,
right.
That would make me feel even more like, I know, well, I'm definitely not going to do it now. Cause you're both telling me to do it.
Yeah. Right. You know? Oh man.
Great fucking movie. Like highly entertaining. It is not meant to be like there's not meant to be anything other than, you know, like exploitative, but you know, it's a Tarantino movie. The good guys win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we showed up for.
Meme.
Racists get killed.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that.
No.
Man. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Jeez. Six picks. All bangers.
Yeah.
All right.
Stupid. They both have dumb filmography.
It's so stupid.
All right, you're back up, Wes.
Fuck. Okay. Okay. I've never stressed a draft, and this one shouldn't be stressful because they both have so many fucking home runs.
But that's the problem.
That makes it 100 times worse.
100%.
There's no tier system.
No, there's not. Oh god.
Okay. All right. I would say that objectively, this is one of the roles that really, really let us know, like, oh no, this guy's different. This dude is going to be around for a long time. It is, no matter what anyone tells you, it is absolutely a fucking horror movie. It's not a thriller. It's not a suspense film. It's a fucking horror movie. And I'm going with 7.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyone that tells you that it's not a horror movie doesn't want to acknowledge horror as a genre, and those aren't the type of people you need in your life. It's a horror movie through and fucking through.
Yeah.
And he is so good. David Mills is a very tortured character, and they handle David Mills in a very I think he handles that character in a really fucking strong way.
The whole movie is just tense and stressful. Like,
yes, it's a stressful movie. He's a stressful character. Yeah. Who's stressed out all the time? And oh god,
dude! And you got,
but it's a great movie. It's this? Brad Pitt fucking being directed by David Fincher. Come on,
yeah.
By the way, we have exclusively only had these fucking
top tier directors.
No,
it is stupid.
Just Academy Award nominees across the board.
Jeez, yeah, you're right. There hasn't been what else have they done?
Yeah,
like,
whatever happened to that guy? No, we're not doing that.
Oh, man. Yeah, this movie is like weirdly almost like became a little underrated, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think what happens now with 7 is we've seen so much.
Yeah.
That we forget how powerful that movie is.
Yeah.
Well, like when it came out.
Especially in 95, 96?
95,
Yeah.
And there's, and horror has evolved so much. But I think beyond that, beyond the evolution of the genre of horror, 7 Seminole's the test of time, stands up to the test of time the way Psycho does or Rosemary's Baby does, because in any generation, that's a terrifying story.
Yep.
There's no version of that fucking serial killer that isn't a nightmare. Too,
Deadly Sins. So like it goes like, you know,
it
doesn't matter how you feel. Yeah.
Yes. It's a concept you can always revisit. And that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Wow. I gotta roll the dice here, man.
Ooh,
I've got like three right now. And I'm like, oh, I think one I might be safe of, but. Oh, let me put myself on the clock. By the way, I already like the fact that James just does this is amazing. The fact that he does this and keeps the spreadsheet is fucking insane.
It's insane. It is so insane.
I don't know how he does everything he does for the network.
No, yeah. And like hold us down, you know?
Yeah.
And you two really do push the line with him. So. There's shows that I'll be listing, and I'm like, they're on one, and they're not even two drafts in. This is gonna be a long day for James.
All right, Drew, what do you got? What are you doing with?
He is stressing. Look at him.
There's like. Okay, there's two fucking great movies, but then there's a performance that I need.
Yeah, I'm doing some of that too, where I'm like,
you gotta go back and forth. You gotta go back and forth. That's why I chose Seven over something else.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm just gonna go with this because, as good as it fucking is, and as good as these other ones are, this one defined movies for the next like 5-6 years, because every time you saw another movie, you were like, oh, how was it? Oh, it had the Fight Club ending.
Yep.
Because everybody was trying to capture that fucking magic again. They could not do it. So
for a decade. For a decade.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, how many times did you hear that? Oh, it's got a Fight Club ending.
Yeah.
Damn. Damn. That's where I was. You guys are changing all the Brad movies I was going to take where I was going to take them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I can even toss aside the fact that Fight Club has kind of been co-opted by like the frat bro douchebag crowd. Same way with a movie like Scarface.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Scarface, you know, you had Al Pacino being directed by Brian De Palma, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You had Brad Pitt being directed by David Fincher. Yeah. Going to be good.
Yeah. Also, it was weird how it spun it into some of the frat boy stuff, because what they were looking at was different than the overall message of the actual fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, like we're in it for this part, the coolness of it, the fighting aspect.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're fucking missing the main point.
Yeah.
You know,
you're breaking down you're blowing up the system. And Poloniec is anything but a pro frat bro guy.
Dude. Well, and just the idea of,
oh God,
trying to make Brad Pitt like he was steadily like almost like bulking up, like looking sexier and sexier.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you got other dude that's just tearing himself completely down and starting to look worse and worse as we go along.
Edward Norton just looks like he hasn't slept in 4 years, and then you got he just keeps looking better. Yeah.
God, so it's
insane. Yeah.
What and just that character, like that duality that we're seeing two different versions of the same man.
Yeah.
And spoiler.
If you haven't seen it, this one has a real Fight Club in it.
Yeah, go. the fact that like you're really breaking down like mental illness and it's like that's what you're seeing. Like, it's a movie about mental illness, really, and god damn, like those two guys just fucking turned up to 11 the whole fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, it's all the douchiness aside, it's a great performance and a great director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, oh god, okay,
Andy? What's funny is we're all viewing this as so hard, but it is actually so easy because we have all the options on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm going to, because I can get the other one that I really wanted with my next pick, I'm actually going to do a little something here just because I think it's fucking cool. So I'm going to go back to back because these movies made me feel similar things. But believe it or not, I like this movie better than Fight Club. I'm going Snatch.
Okay.
Oh, I love Snatch. Yeah, man.
Guy Ritchie, the character. I can watch this movie all the fucking time simply to listen to Brad Pitt talk.
This is where I was talking about the performance, you know, like this is the performance I wanted. And yeah, it is. And it is definitely one I've definitely watched more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just because Fight Club, like I said, like defined fucking movies forever, that it kind of like.
For sure.
Like, that's why like I put that up. But performance wise, yeah, this is a way better movie.
Well, he's character acting, which is not. When you think of Brad Pitt, you don't think of a character actor. You think of a leading man. And when he character acts is, in my opinion, is when Brad Pitt is at his best.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like also fucking Guy Ritchie, like
when Guy Ritchie still tried.
Oh, God. Well, like, that's why I was so excited when The Gentlemen came out, is because I was like, oh, shit, this gives me Snatch feelings.
You know what I'm saying? And to that point, look how many people tried to like co-opt that vibe that Snatch put off for the next five, 8 years.
They did. They tried to, you know, get the, you know, the gangsters and the boxing thing and like just how it's stylized, how the movie was stylized.
The kind of quick cut kind of thing. Yeah.
That conversation pace, that boom, boom, boom,
quick. Which that's what I love Brad Pitt in this thing. And he's got a couple more that are going to go where like he gets in that type of bag, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But Snatch is like, it's a fucking all timer. Like,
yeah, man.
You got Jason Statham. Like, come on now.
Mickey O'Neill is one of the funniest characters Brad Pitt ever played.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Pikey.
Well, thank you.
Fuck him, fight him free.
Oh God, yeah.
He's quite parts of the Periwinkle Blue.
It's so good. All right. This is another one of my
gigs.
This is in my top 25 as well. This movie's fucking brilliant. It's one of the most well choreographed, thought about, all of that movies of all time. And I got to go Leo and Inception.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. One of the most overanalyzed films probably of the last 20 years, honestly.
100%. Like everybody wanted it to be whatever they envisioned it was.
Man, whatever happened to that director too?
That Nolan guy, I don't know, whatever came of him.
I think he did some comic book movie or something. I don't know.
How they fucking shot that whole like scene where they're running around, like that's like insane to go to the levels of how to do that. But like
and here
we are again with Leo and Tom Hardy both in the same movie again. JGL in this one, and one of my favorite like dudes ever, Cillian Murphy. I'm like entranced by his eyes. I'm like in whenever he's on screen, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like hypnotizing. But yeah, Inception, it's literally one of the best, like most well-written movies of all time, I would say.
Yes. So,
just every fucking little detail. Like, I don't know how you, it's like that's the kind of thing I've like fucked around with writing a little bit before. Like, I don't know how like you get to that detail and then like you have to remember all these things, and it's just like it's so fucking crazy to get to the level of like, oh, you have to get to this, and then within this you have to get to this, and then within that you have to get to this, and like It's just it's confusing enough sometimes just watching it, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, they had to write this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you, sir. I was able to get 2 out of my 3 picks then. Because the you took Snatch from me.
All right.
The other one I was debating. I thought maybe there was a chance, but I thought my times were good because this movie takes place before 1970. So I'm going to go with Gangs of New York.
Hey, that's up there.
The irony in how good this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Gangs of New York, you don't think about Leonardo DiCaprio. That's how fucking good this movie is.
You're right.
That's so true.
Wow.
Like, second, third thing I think about. Yeah. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis chews the fucking scenery in everything in that movie that just... He consumes the movie.
And even John C. Reilly, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's how fucking good it is that one of the greatest actors of our lifetime is like, yeah, he's good in it too.
Yeah. Jeez.
I wouldn't want to play opposite of Daniel Day-Lewis though. I mean, he's from another planet, dude. Yeah. Like, guys that perform like that.
He's an alien.
Absolutely, man. Like, you just, he's wired different. Method actors are fucking wired different.
It definitely seems like a good passing of the torch movie though, because this is very much of like Leo coming out of, you know, the teen beat and being like, I can do this shit for real.
He had Titanic under his belt. He had the man, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I'm saying these because I don't think these will go.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, it's not like it may go in the honorables. I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Like, but there's other ones. You know, like that, or like Man Behind the Iron Mask. Like, those are like things that got teenage girls excited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. About fucking Shakespeare. And
there's another one I don't want to mention because it's going to get taken. But then, like, it has like the Don's Plum and then another one. And then, bam, Gangs of New York, which is such a spin on everything that was happening before that.
Yeah.
It's weird to watch his trajectory from Titanic on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was the movie that really, like, he's in a bunch of great movies before that, but that movie put him into a different stratosphere of celebrity that he's never come down from since.
You think about even that, like, that's
fucking, and I hate that fucking movie, by the way.
That's James Cameron.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like, that dude has worked with every fucking great, like,
everybody.
I feel like he just looks
and he's like, who haven't I worked with? I'm gonna work with that guy.
Apparently he's gonna be in the next Aronofsky film because that's the only person he hasn't worked with.
Well, and that's the thing, like, using like that James Cameron as an example, James Cameron has worked with every major actor in every generation that he's worked in.
Yeah,
he's been with but Scorsese is the same way, Tarantino, like. The best are going to work with the best.
Mm-hmm.
Which, hey, that's great because then we get, you know, the performances that we want out of
these things. So, yes.
I got no issue with that. Like, I remember like this, comparing this to a little bit of like when the best want to team up with the best in like sports or whatever.
Yeah.
Like
Shaq and Kobe on a team together. Remember that?
Like, yeah, when LeBron was like, hey, Chris Bosh, you want to go and play with our buddy Dwayne Wade down in Miami?
Yeah.
And people were freaking out. And I'm like, think about this. Just think about this for a damn second. You're living in Ohio. The other dude's up in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And then you got somebody down in Miami. And you're all like, we could play together and it would be a shit ton of fun.
It'd be it's a major deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Like, imagine that, like, now flip it into an act or a director being like, yo, we could get this actor, this actor, this actress. We could put it together. Can you imagine how fucking good it would be?
Oh my God.
Of course you're going to do it. Are you out of your damn mind? Like,
I'm not saying every movie should have an ensemble cast.
No.
But if you're going to put the best fucking actors in the world in it, I'm do down. The ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're almost sometimes watching the movie, not just from the story perspective, but just being in awe and appreciating the greatness of them actually acting.
Yes.
Like yeah. Gangs of New York. If you're saying Leo's like the fourth or fifth best thing in the movie, you know what I'm
freakish.
Saying?
That's freakish.
That's crazy. You know? Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Love that. Wes, number four.
All right. Well, So maybe not considered. While this maybe isn't considered when we think about Martin Scorsese movies, I don't necessarily know that this is one of the first ones everybody references. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and revisit this movie now with a fresh set of eyes, you'll see how goddamn good it is, and you'll see how good Leonardo DiCaprio is in it. And it has all of that classic Hollywood noir meets horror, meets mystery to me. And I still love it to this day. So I'm going to go with Shutter Island.
Yeah, this is actually the one I originally thought you were taking when you were taking Seven. Because there's some similar ideas
It's a similar vibe.
Horror fans call Shutter Island a horror movie.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, where's he going with this?
Yep.
And Shutter Island was the first thing I was kind of thinking of. And then I was like, yeah, of course, Seven. But
yeah.
Yeah, they both got similar feels in that, fuck, man.
Jesus, dude, it's Shutter Island. Look at the cast. I mean, that's kind of all you need to do. And the performances fucking rule. You have some of the biggest fucking actors ever. Ben Kingsley, Emily Mortimer is really good in it. Just everybody in the movie's good. And it was cool because it was Martin Scorsese kind of doing Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Not doing Hitchcock, but also kind of doing a Hitchcock movie. And it's awesome. Awesome movie.
Tense Leo is probably the best Leo that there is.
Yes. Like where he's the character is consumed.
He's all in the camera and he's just like.
It's another tension movie. It's a dread movie. There's dread and it's good. Love that movie. Yeah. Love the way it looks. I love the music. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, man.
Oof. Oh,
well, you know what time it is.
So Raven, oh babe, so shitty. Draft on lips, you know. If it's splendid or it blows, so Raven, so shitty.
Ooh.
Oh man. I'm still buzzing. I'm having a hard time getting my head into Raven Sheedy because I'm so invested in this.
We're talking about these fucking movies.
All of the picks that we've taken so far could arguably be first rounders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single pick.
Yep.
I was actually finally compiling my list, and I was like, I know I've seen all these movies, but I really wish I would have done research and just watched all these because they're so everyone I wrote down, I'm like, fuck, I really want to rewatch that. Oh, I really want to rewatch that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
You watch it and you get all excited.
Yeah.
Yep.
But what do you guys got? Week? Raven Sheedy.
I watched on Amazon Prime, Nate Bargatze's new special. It was pretty damn good. Ooh. Yeah. He did it in did it what do they call it, on the round. He did it the same place Where Carlin did Carlin on Campus, the I think it's University of Phoenix, or not University of Phoenix, University of Arizona.
University of Phoenix Online.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was it's very good. You know, he's a funny fella. Funny, clean.
Wait, who?
Nate Bargatze.
Oh, I love Nate Bargatze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good guy. You guys, yeah. You guys saw him in person, you and James, right?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else then.
Yeah.
Paul. Paul's who I'm thinking
Paul
of.
Paul Versey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Old Nate Bargatze. Yeah, I don't even know if I did. Like my week has been such a fucking blur that I'm like, what did I do? And weirdly, I just don't know. You guys have those weeks that you're like,
yeah, man.
What did I do?
All the time, dude. I had it last week. I had to specifically remember what I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like, I feel like I've watched stuff, but at the same time, like, I don't think I've watched anything at the same time. It's bizarre that I've blanked. This never happens. And it's happened. Yeah. So what you got, Wes, before I'll get in my brain and remember.
You're good. I mean, I've just, since January, we've been pretty focused on the stuff with the band because EP will be out at the end of the month. And played some really solid shows. The reception's really good. We're sort of firing on all cylinders, and we've got some really fun shit planned that I think is going to surprise people in the coming months. And just kind of been focused on that. That's been like, we played in Columbus this weekend, and it's nice to go into a new city where there's like a healthy, thriving young scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's active, and you don't know, you're walking in like completely blind, with no expectations, and then the people show up and they blow your expectations out of the
way. Like, where in Columbus was it?
So we played this time at a place called The Stoop, which is like a punk rock collective venue, and it's run by it's a venue run by essentially like a skate team, like a skate team. These dudes are skaters and obviously into music, and they've offered up a really good spot, and it's having a really positive impact down there. With there's a really healthy punk rock and hardcore scene down there.
Oh, I believe it. Columbus absolutely one of my favorite cities I ever lived outside of the weather.
Fucking city, and I think it ends up in Cleveland's shadow a lot. But Columbus has a real young, thriving scene there.
Well, that's what it is. There's a college there. Absolutely. And then there's young retail. So there's a lot of young professionals. But the crazy thing about Columbus that I found that was the coolest fucking thing of all is I would go to a bar and there would be next to me, there'd be somebody in college. And then right next to me is like a 60-year-older. And everybody's hanging out together.
Nice.
And, slip some tongue in. that's how I felt about Columbus. Is like, I always loved going out there because I felt like it was like a mix of people. And I was like, I could be going to the bathroom and I bump into like five different types of people.
Yes. Yes. And like, it's funny because like, I've been playing in bands for a really long time.
Yeah.
And to come off stage and leave the show that night and have the feeling of like, fuck, that was really good.
Yeah.
Like everything was good. Like, and I'm not saying this be arrogant. Like, we're all dudes who've been doing this a long time. We should be a fucking well put together band.
Right.
Like if we weren't, like, what are you doing? But to come off stage and experience that night and have the engagement we had with fans and to leave there being like, that was, okay. that yes, this is what we're doing this for. It's a good feeling. It's nice going into this. Like the record's not even out yet. Speaking of, there's only like 8 copies left for pre-order. So,
oh shit.
If people want to get a copy, go to Friend Club Records and you can pick it up. But I don't know. It was a really good, healthy vibe and it felt good and it felt like we're doing the right thing. So has me excited for the rest of the year.
Dude, that's amazing.
Dame was the Western Conference Player of the Week 2 weeks in a row. So.
There you go. I you know what? I have been watching a lot of Orlando Magic basketball, which is pretty exciting.
I've been watching a lot of basketball. Yeah.
because like the Magic haven't been good forever. They got the dude that's probably going to be the rookie of the year.
Yes, they do.
They've been winning lately, beating like good teams, so it's been a ton of fun. Yeah. And I guess I'll give real quick kind of like a couple rundowns of the Grammys, if you will. So a couple cool moments. Lizzo won a Grammy for Record of the Year, which fucking is cool because I think the last like black female artist that won it was like Whitney Houston or some shit like that.
No shit.
For that particular award, I think.
Didn't I pick Lizzo?
Well, she didn't win. James got the point for getting Harry's House.
Oh, I thought you said she won. I was like, wait.
She won Record of the Year, not Album.
What Album of the Year?
Yeah, so Harry won Album of the Year.
Okay.
So James gets the point there, but Drew and I both have a chance at a point because Drew picked the Eagles and I picked the Chiefs.
Yeah.
To win the Super Bowl. Okay.
So we both got a chance to get a point.
That's exciting.
Song of the Year, even though like I'm not like huge into her or anything, but Bonnie Raitt winning, that's pretty fucking cool.
That's fucking crazy, right? After all these years, she's still pulling that sort of weight in the music industry.
Best new artist, check out Samara Joy if you haven't. I was listening to the album like last night. It was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Kendrick winning was awesome. My favorite song of the year last year is the one that won like rap performance of the year with the Heart Part 5, and then he won for his album, so that was kind of cool.
I also think
a couple cool moments
in both those categories. Like in looking at them, I was like, no one's gonna beat him.
Yeah, the nominees were fucking weird because Jid and Denzel Curry weren't nominated.
Yeah,
and like a lot of people agree that those were like some, and Cheat Codes wasn't nominated. Like there. So the category was all jacked up, but at least they got Kendrick right this time. That was pretty
cool. It's a reminder of how fucking corny the music industry is.
Oh, 100%. But and then the last thing I'll end with was Questlove put together like this 50 years of hip hop thing, which was really fucking cool. Like 50 years of hip hop is in August this year. And so we're going to get a lot of really cool hip hop shit, which I'm excited about.
Also, Too Short was on the Grammys.
What? Right?
Yeah.
When was that ever going to happen again?
What? Like perform?
He was in it.
Because they did this whole 50 years of hip hop and they went from like way back and they like kept going. I think they skipped like a 20 year gap, but they got a lot of the early stuff, so that was a ton of fun.
Hip of the Nation.
Like Jay-Z rapping like with Method Man was such a fucking cool moment. Just like Jay-Z was in the crowd and Method Man was on stage and he was like, you could tell he was excited that Meth was up
excited
on stage.
About it. Yeah.
Also
the Bad Bunny performance was fucking awesome.
Yep.
That was cool.
And then even though I'm not like a DJ Khaled guy or anything, Jay-Z rapped for like fucking 5 minutes at the end of the show, which was so cool. So,
and then he won't rap again for another 6 years.
Yeah. But so aside from, you know, a lot of the stupid shit and like the weird nominees, I do want to call out some of the good stuff because there should be stuff celebrated at the same time. And, there was some really cool stuff that did happen that, you know, should get celebrated.
Yeah, exciting stuff. Yeah, like yeah. Look, we all agree that the all these award shows are fucking corny and yeah. and shitty, and it's a circle jerk, and we know that. But like, mm-hmm. like, look, man, Bad Bunny's one of the biggest artists on the fucking planet, and he goes on a stage like that and proves it. That's cool. Yeah. I like seeing that.
Yeah. Also, really excited. I'm a huge Robert Glasper guy, and he won Best R&B Album, which was really fucking cool. Because he's like,
I don't want to forget this either.
So
watching Sam Smith perform and knowing full well like
what he was like, to what he, yeah,
yes, and then knowing that Fox knew that whole fucking dipshit conservative crowd, yeah, yeah. he knew what he was doing.
Oh
he
yeah, 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 yeah.
And they did exactly what his version of
what Lil Nas X was like doing.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. But Cash, when we were watching, Cash goes, "You know, Lil Nas X is like, whew."
Yeah. Well, shit. Lil Nas X embraced it and said, "I'm gonna put blood in the bottom of my shoes." Like,
so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh shit. So
good.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So some good shit. So.
Yeah, man.
So Raven. Oh, so shitty.
Wesley.
Oh my goodness. Here we are. We're back.
Okay. Oh God. Well, I really hate this. Because I feel like there's some of it where like, you know, we've already talked about this, how like sometimes it's not the performance or not the movie, it's the performance.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a real specific one because he's not in this movie for very long.
Okay.
But he is arguably the most memorable fucking thing in this movie.
Okay. I think
and it's a great movie. It's a great fucking dark love story. But Brad Pitt has a scene stealer of all scene stealers. And I'm going to go with True Romance.
Yeah.
Lloyd.
Yeah, this one absolutely could have gone way higher.
Yep. Yes. Agreed.
And probably would have had Brad been in it even longer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know? Because they did this thing of like making you want to know more about Floyd, and you're never going to get more Floyd.
No.
Which is so funny to me. Like,
yeah.
I really do.
You know, they like could, that. Though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And how cool would that be?
Like a Floyd movie?
Like 25 years later.
Just now.
It's like, we just, like, what happened to Floyd?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and this is, like, right up your alley, right?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Written by Tarantino.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and let's not act like fucking Tony Scott is some slouch. He's a great director. So
sure,
Dennis Hopper,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Gary Oldman,
Walken. Like, there's a lot of great fucking Dude. Actors in it.
Slater,
Brad Pitt as Floyd. What a good stoner.
Even though Tony Soprano's in this, right?
Yeah, man, Gandolfini's great in this movie.
Damn. He actually interacts with him. I think he's one of the when he comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, he it's a trailer, right? He lives in a trailer.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Fuck.
Fuck, man.
Oh god. Yeah. Okay. Woo. Okay. All right.
All right.
All I can do is say okay, all right, because like I'm like, okay, there's still a banger. There's just so many damn good. We're gonna leave some amazing movies off.
Yeah,
which is wild. That's wild.
Significant amount of them too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go with another movie. I think we're getting into like some of the, you know, maybe finally getting into some lesser known directors. I mean, you know, like you said, like no slouches, but
yeah.
You know, this one's by a guy named Steven Spielberg. I'm gonna go with Catch Me If You Can.
Oh man, I love this movie.
Me too, man.
This is another one that was right before the big, you know, his big auteur run.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, because it was this other movie that I fucking love, but it might not make my list. Dawn's Plum, then Catch Me If You Can, Gangs of New York, and then skip one, The Departed.
Yeah,
skip another couple. Yeah.
Yeah, where he's biopicking.
Dude, his 2002 to 2010 run.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely insane. I guess you could keep going too, because it's not like.
Yeah, he hasn't really let off the gas.
No, he hasn't.
Like, they've only
just been more selective, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, just less movies.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, even this one he's got coming up. 2 years
ago, so.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, he's got a Scorsese movie coming.
Yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that one.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. This is gonna
Brendan Fraser's in that one too, man.
Ooh. Okay. And De Niro, Jesse Plemons. Oh God. Okay. Okay. I'm getting excited again.
Strap in, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, catch me if you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a good man. Like, it's one of those ones too where you're just like, this is a true fucking story.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking wild.
And it's entertaining. Like,
yeah, it's so entertaining. Yeah.
It's entertaining in the sense that, like, it does all the
so good Christopher
Walken. Yeah, it does all the big blockbuster stuff that you want in a big fucking tentpole movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I am that second mouse.
Jeez. Okay. 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 Oh, I don't know what to do. All right, I'm gonna go newer here. I'm going Bullet Train.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a very entertaining movie.
It is. It's one that's gonna. I feel, and this is still early, so you say these and you think it will, but like, this is one that feels to me that will remain in my rotation.
I would have liked more fight scenes, because you had the actors that could do it.
But the director that hit him, they fucking hit.
They did, yes. And you had the director that can handle fight scenes like that. I just wanted more of them.
I can for sure see that perspective, but I will say I liked the idea also of the stuff moving along with the train in some sort of way.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. Great performances too.
Yeah. Lemon and Tangerine fucking stole.
Yeah, dude. Bro. Oh, they like, you could tell like these actors were having a good time.
That's that what it felt fun. Like. Yeah. So that's what I felt when I was watching the movie, is it felt like a ton of fun. And there was also some like weird stuff here and there where you're like, oh wow, that's not the type of character or thing or whatever I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they put the spin on it, but like, Brad Pitt's character was so just like what he was dealing with before kind of getting onto the train, and then dealing with it while he's also dealing with the other stuff going on, was so fucking cool. Have you seen this yet, Drew?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. But yeah, it was just a shit ton of fun for me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Good pick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is like you said, the brothers, like the one, I forget which was which, but the one that's like always talking about fucking Thomas the Tank Engine and shit.
Yeah. So entertaining.
Yeah.
Brian Tyree.
It can be learned.
Dude, I love that dude. He's Paperboy in Atlanta. So I'm already like a massive fan of him.
Yeah.
But I liked that. I don't know movie wise if he had like a big movie. So this felt like his like jump into, okay, he's put his stamp down and we're going to start seeing him in more stuff, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hey, you know, Bad Bunny did a great performance in this too.
Dude, he was so good in it. He's so good. He for was my favorite.
Limited time. Yes, he was great.
He was my favorite character in it. And it's funny because that dude that directed it, he's also the guy that did the John Wick movies.
Okay.
And he, it's very clear to me that he likes to make sure that he takes a minor character and gives them the spotlight of all spotlights.
Yeah.
Because there are people that pop up in John Wick movies that are like, they're not going to be around for long, but they're going to be gripping for the time they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Brad Pitt in True Romance. Like, I want more of that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Shit. Here we are again. So we meet again. I'm going to go a little bit. God, there's still some massive movies, but I'm going to go a little outside of the box here because this was one that I loved that I felt like didn't get enough love. And I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers. So give me Burn After Reading.
Yeah. Ooh,
this is such a good movie.
It is.
It's so funny.
Dude, Clooney and Pitt, like, oh my God.
It's that so scene, funny.
That fucking, oh God. But yeah, it's like you get the spy aspect and the comedy of it.
Yep.
And I like their style. But this is like also like banger of a cast too. You got Clooney, Francis McDormand, John Malkovich, Tilda Swinton, Richard Jenkins, Brad Pitt. Like, are you kidding me?
Like Pitt, like him in like that middle management role is so fucking funny to me. God. Just like khakis and polo. Man. Like it's like him playing kind of everyman is just like so weird and funny.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it is one of the underappreciated Coen Brothers movies.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
It doesn't get the love it deserves. It's a very entertaining movie. These characters are so stupid.
Yes.
So
yes.
Silly.
Yes.
And God, it's so funny. There's it's a Pink Panther
of,
movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say there's a little bit of, from the stupidity standpoint, Always Sunny there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I just think it's one of these movies that I don't ever hear people talking about.
Yeah.
And it should be talked about.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I think it's such a funny movie. What's that other? There's another fucking Tom Hanks, the Wayans brothers are in it.
Lady Killers.
Dude, I love that movie. Marlon Wayans.
What a remake.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the original?
I don't know. I don't think I have.
Equally as ridiculous.
You know what else? Okay. It was Clooney like basically being like, okay, I'm gonna make my own Coen Brothers movie. Welcome to Collinwood.
Yeah.
So fucking funny.
God, that's good.
But yeah, the Lady Killer. That's the one where was it Tom Hanks that had IBS?
In that lady's house like underground.
Yeah.
His teeth in that movie are so hilarious and distracting.
It's one of those moments like too, like, you know, certain things like when Michael Keaton showed up in The Other Guys, you're like, oh yeah, these guys are like, they did start in comedy, like,
right. Oh, you're really funny. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. Because Tom Hanks, like, you know, he just he started doing all these serious shit. And then you're like, oh, yeah, you are fucking great. Like, hilarious.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, good shit, man.
All right. Is that your second one, Andy?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right. I feel really bad because I have movies that I have super high that I just haven't get touched yet.
It's hard. This is hard between these two.
Yeah. All right, Drew.
I know. I have one that I think is safe. God damn.
I have one that at one time was a top 10 all-time movie for me that I haven't taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. So just because I know that's safe, I think I'm going to skip it. Oh, I have two that are kind of safe. Oh, that's still a, what the fuck?
Right?
Jesus. Oh, the sweats. Oh, the draft sweats.
It's so weird when something so easy becomes so difficult.
Yeah, I think at this point I'm just going to go heart, you know, new year, new Andy.
Right.
Going to pick with the heart. I'm going to go with the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
That's a good fucking movie, dude.
It is a good fucking movie. yeah, it's so fucking, I don't know, like just holding a certain, like certain way. Casey Affleck is really good in this. Oh, it's just an amazing movie. I don't know.
It's a good Western.
Yeah.
It's a good fucking Western.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like in that time where like it started to like that way.
Yeah.
Like True Grit and 310 to Yuma. And like,
it was this little moment where it looked like it was coming back.
Yeah. It was like blockbuster Westerns, you know?
Yeah.
And then now it's just
it could come back.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like there's a lot of Westerns being made.
Yeah,
the last couple of years, I think it's right like, Yellowstone wave. So
yeah, or it could be one of those things where there's a little nod to it, like if you kind of go back to like Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah,
there's some of those things that I feel like can be explored and still maintain some of the coolness, you know, that people are trying to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you have to put a different spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's so many of the old, like the Unforgiven and shit like that. You have to come at it from a different direction. It feels like
it, you know, that same thing happens with like in the history of Hong Kong cinema, like with like martial arts films too, mm-hmm. specifically.
That's
like,
true.
There is a, in that lineage, there are movies that are like pretty formulaic, but they're memorable. Like, you know, the 36 Chambers is one of the most memorable Shaw Brothers movies ever made.
Right.
But then you have, and then, you know, you got guys like Jackie Chan with like Drunken Master, right? One of the most beloved,
his
most beloved performances. But then there are also movies like Come Drink With Me. What's it called? Killing with Intrigue, that are like beautiful and like approaching the style completely differently, and they took something that there's so many of, and they put a different spin on it. And you need like lead movies that take a genre that's been beaten to death and breathe new life into it. And Westerns are one that are ripe for it. It's going to take somebody to take a massive swing and be really risky and daring. But if you do it right, you could usher a whole new wave of Westerns.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I would also like to see a new wave of blaxploitation.
Yes, I've been asking for this for...
I think we're almost there. Like
I thought we were getting there.
Yeah, I thought we were getting there when Eddie Murphy did kind of the nod, and it was like, Eddie's back.
Yeah,
the Rudy Ray Moore biopic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then also you had like, and I don't know that people want to think of them in this context, but a movie like Black Klansman, a movie like Judas and the Black Messiah, like those are movies that lean into those elements of black cinema in a way that like, I mean, you're showing kind of the underbelly of humanity, but so did Melvin Van Peebles when he made Sweet Sweetback. You're showing the underbelly of society.
That's what I fucking want. Like,
yeah, man.
New version of that. So
yes. Yeah.
All right, Wes, what are you going with?
Well, shit. Okay. So I'm going to do what Andy did. And the irony is that the three of us are on this because the three of us will be on another draft very soon with Papa James back on the mic. And this movie will most certainly be talked about. It's very divisive.
But not unlike another very divisive movie from 2022, Triangle of Sadness, this movie is the big fucking swinging dick bombastic lunacy that I love about movies. And so I'm going to go. Brad Pitt gets another round here with Babylon.
Ah, yeah. This is one that's high on my list of want to see it.
I haven't seen it yet, but that's another one I want to see. Like, I definitely have to mark it off before the next month. So,
yeah, yeah. Movies like this that take big chances,
yeah,
and do fucking extreme shit, it can be hit or miss, especially when you have a whole giant cast of A-list actors.
Yeah,
But I, in my opinion, history will be kind to Babylon and history will be kind to Triangle of Sadness.
Okay.
Brad Pitt's the fucking man.
He is. He just, yeah. Oh, man.
But Margot Robbie is awesome shit, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Margot is like, it's crazy to see her ascension from
what a rise. What
Wolf
a rise.
Of Wall Street all the way to like now. Because Wolf of Wall Street holy shit, there was scenes that literally are going to, you know, live in people's minds. She turned a shit ton of boys into men.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Nathan Stockman and all them. But, you know, yeah.
And then, she shows up in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, God. She was so good in that.
They did something with Sharon Tate that no one in Hollywood ever does. Yeah. All we ever talk about is the grisly death of Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
And Tarantino and Margot Robbie gave...
put a spin on it. It was so cool.
Breathe life into how we talk about Sharon Tate, because she was this burgeoning, this actress that had everything going for her.
Yeah.
And Margot Robbie put all this whimsy and marvel in her. And
she does that better. Like,
she's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Barbie.
Almost better than anybody. Yeah.
Barbie's going to be fun. She's great as Harley Quinn. Like, and I didn't give a fuck about those dumbass comic book movies, but God damn it. Is she fun in those? So Margot Robbie to the moon.
All right. Pick number 7.
Fucking A.
I know.
Fuck. These giant filmographies, you know? Like this.
Yeah.
Should just be like, fucking put your finger on it. And you're not, because you're overthinking it.
Yeah.
I feel like going personal is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to do that. And this is definitely a personal one, but it's really good. Because Jim Carroll is a fascinating human being. And this is really like, there's a little run of movies here in Leo's career where you could see like, this is the guy.
Yep.
It's like that. It was very much a Johnny Depp thing before Johnny Depp was just like, oh, fart in any movie you want. No. And I am going to choose The Basketball Diaries.
Oh, I love that movie. Oh, God.
I do too. I think that book is crazy. Jim Carroll is a fucking fascinating human being. And goddamn, Leo was the guy to play that role. You get him at
fucking young Leo.
Dark. What a dark movie. Jesus Christ.
What's crazy is he was putting on bangers before that, like a movie we haven't taken. He had one of the better like child or kid performances you can fucking have.
Yeah.
Do what he did.
But with Johnny Depp,
Diaries was the same way, man. It was just like,
yeah, dude. Yeah. Yep. I think the movie gets forgotten.
I think it does too, just because it's like
because the 90s are a weird time for film. Mm-hmm.
it wasn't a good time in Hollywood, and like the blockbuster was really starting to like, that's when you really start like, you, yeah, we can trace it back to Jaws, but like the 90s is when we really like, you come off of Batman, Tim Burton's Batman, and then every studio was like, nope, tentpole movies. We're fucking hitching our wagon to tentpole movies. And so a lot of smaller movies got buried because of that. But there's some really good fucking gems in the 90s, like this movie and like a few others that he was in, that like shouldn't be overlooked because they're like really good stories.
21, like putting on that performance.
Yeah, dude. Yep.
Whew. Okay.
Damn, man. Like, you know, I feel bad. I kind of want to like bounce back and forth, but I honestly can't believe this movie's still out there. We'll go Moneyball.
Yeah.
I was looking at that before I picked Basketball Diaries.
Well, the funny thing is stacked it was. I was looking at Moneyball.
Mm.
It was just outside of my honorable mentions.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because like I like some of the other movies a little bit better. And this is like Brad and Jonah, who are two of my favorites.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like that's how ridiculous it is. But yeah, he nailed Billy Bean.
Yeah, he certainly did. Yeah, it's
Billy Ball.
Yeah. Such a good fucking man. Actually, like I was, and like you say that, and but I was actually weighing it against another one of his performances. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Fucking how good these two fucking are. Like, Moneyball is just, I don't know, for me personally, awesome. I really like it. Yeah, it's just a fucking cool story. And like, I love the way they kind of, you know, they meld movies. A lot of times don't do this well, but they did a great job of putting in real scenes with, you know, movie, you know, like cutting from actual, like, you know, ESPN footage or whatever, you know, actual footage to this. Like, it did a really good job. And I mean, fuck, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like,
R.I.P.
Yeah. So, I mean, just so many good performances. And like you said, Jonah, you know, he got his best supporting nod in this, right?
Yeah. He did.
He's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. God damn.
Yeah.
He's good in everything. Good in everything.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know, the one thing too that Moneyball does really well that a lot of movies don't, sports movies are tough.
Yeah,
they are.
And most sports movies get pretty hacky and they're kind of saccharine and they're melodrama, or they're, you know, they crank up you know, they just get too like sentimental. This adds a pretty like staunch layer of reality.
Yeah.
And the performances,
even though they do well, they still don't get the championship. You know what I mean? Right,
exactly. Yes.
Like,
yes.
So it's, and like, it's also that lesson of, you know, like,
what is success?
And then like they always, you know, even with, you know, especially, you know, that was a big thing in wrestling, WWE for a long time was like, well, yeah, WrestleMania was last night, but we still got to put on a show tomorrow. Like,
right.
I mean,
right.
Like,
or always, like,
there's always success the next season.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I view it like this. Success isn't always a championship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Success can be way more than that. And I feel like what they did was absolute success. You know, what the A's did with the Moneyball. Yeah. Because they were competing at levels they should not be competing at.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What they were given. And that's
on insane. Data. Based on data.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like if Shell decided to start selling t-shirts against Walmart and like actually stood a chance.
Yeah.
Like that makes no sense, you know? So I love it. Oh, okay. There's three of these. I absolutely love this style of movie. It's one of my favorite like styles. So I got to take it here. I'm going Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
I'm glad you picked that one. I was wondering which one you were going to choose.
Yeah, I mean, feels like the OG. And again, Brad eating here is on full display.
Every scene.
Every fucking scene. And I love these styles of movie with the heist, especially that with the comedy. And
yeah,
Soderbergh does such a good job. Obviously, the cast is absolutely stacked. Also, yes. R.I.P. my dude. I'm tired of these motherfuckers, Bernie Mac. Yeah, man, it's such a fun movie with how they're stylized. I love all three of them, but yeah, I'm gonna pick Ocean's 11.
Bernie Mac, God, dude, like Bernie Mac today would be.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not saying like
it's something that we like need.
Yes, because like Bernie Mac, like you, like you, and look, like
great job of holding up the mirror. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
He does the thing. He had the thing that Bill Burr still does, right? Yeah. So as we've seen in the last few years, Chappelle is no longer in touch. Like, and he's angry man yelling at clouds, and it's a bad look for a gazillionaire. Bernie Mac had the thing that Bill Burr has of like holding the mirror up, and was able to like, and he wasn't afraid of an audience.
Yeah.
Well, Bernie Mac had a larger personality than Bill Burr too.
Yes.
So and he was able to do that. While
he kind of walked in ready to fight
large,
him, you know,
personality.
Yes. What an insane statement that really is though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a bigger personality than Bill Burr.
but
it's true. I'm just saying, like, just think about that for a second. Like,
yeah,
of this fucking crazy fucking ginger, and you're like, yeah, this dude will up him.
But I do think
that guy that yells all the time, he's got him beat.
Yeah.
Another parallel that I see now as Burr gets older between he and Bernie Mac is that Bill Burr is what makes Bill Burr so important is he only does the thing he cares about.
Yeah.
He said several times, like, how many millions of dollars do you need? Do I need to do movies? No, I don't need to do movies. Do I need to do another TV show? No, I want to do it because I want to. And
And
like stand up is my thing. And I really think that's who Bernie Mac would be today as well. I think Bernie Mac would just be like, I'm a stand-up. That's what I do. Yeah, I did a TV show. I made a gazillion dollars. Maybe he would have done some movies, but at the end of the day, he also would have just been like, I'm fucking Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
This is what I do. I get up here.
There isn't anybody like him.
Right. Yeah. I flamethrow an arena.
Yeah. It's, oh God, he's one of the best. But yeah, Ocean's 11. Absolute fire of a movie.
He's my favorite part of the movie too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That and Brad eating for me.
And the fucking trapeze kid too.
Yes, like dude. Yeah, all over the place. All right. First one I'm gonna go with is the movie I was talking about that used to be like a top 10 favorite movie of mine. Now it's top 50, I would say. And it didn't even get drafted, which this is wild, but Blood Diamond.
Good movie.
Blood Diamond was so fucking good.
That would have been
obsessed with that movie. Well, and it Blood Diamond was crazy because it took all of that and like blew it up nationwide to like legit massive news stories.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy that a movie did that. But that's what that movie did. They had to look into everything, make sure things were still clean. And Leo had to go on fucking trial. He had to speak in court based on a character he played.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like he had to give back something that was given to him by the company that like helped fund it or whatever. They gave him Marlon Brando's something and he had to give it back.
Drew and I grew up with a family from Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Who literally like were here, like
lost a lot of family to bloodshed in like war, like civil war.
The civil war, yeah.
Jeez. Yep. So yeah, that's my first one. My second one is the amazing performance in 12 Monkeys by Brad Pitt.
That was I was debating for that last.
Really? That's a performance movie. Oh, yeah, because the movie's not great, but he's fucking entertaining.
Just him and like they have the weird things bouncing around, the noise when he's like taking him through and meeting the other patients and stuff.
You so know, funny. I always think of the Joe Pesci show with this. You know, I don't do a good psycho like you, Joe.
Yeah.
Fucking psycho. I think you insulted him a little bit.
All right, this one's tough. Yeah. I got two up for grabs. I'm just gonna fucking go with one. I saw this in theaters. God, I love them both. Fuck it, I'm gonna go. You know what? But that one's probably gonna get picked, so I don't want to. Okay, I'm gonna take Romeo and Juliet.
All right,
Baz Luhrmann, baby.
Yeah, I love that style of Romeo and Juliet. I used to weirdly check it out several times in a row from the library. And like, yeah, I loved fucking Mercutio and shit like that. And yeah, go Romeo and Juliet. I left the other one on the table. You guys aren't even going to pick it, but I fucking love it.
Did you guys see Elvis?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
I love Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. I think he's a fucking, like, that dude only makes movies if he can make them with the fucking dial turned all the way up and ripped off. Like,
yeah, that movie.
Romeo and Juliet's a prime example too.
Yeah, like, you know, these, especially like the music ones, these biopic movies, like they're so fun. And like, I think I talked about it with this movie, with Elvis, because it's like, you can do a lot.
Like, yeah.
Or you could do a great movie if you focused on like the last year of his life or whatever.
For sure. Yeah, real like, gritty. Yeah.
To fucking expand it, then you just have to like it's... It's not even bullet points. It's even beyond that. Like the same thing with like the, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like, how are you going to cover that many years? Like, you just have to like, it can't be done. Like, there's a good emotional.
Yeah.
If you just pick a year out of there, but you know,
with the Elvis movie too, like,
but dude, like those performances and shit are so fucking good. All right.
Also, shout out John Leguizamo. Fucking love
John Leguizamo. Yeah, man. He's so fun.
Oh, man.
All right. Oh,
God. That was so tough. One. That was so hard.
All right. There's so many fucking Brad Pitt movies, let alone fucking Leo. I'm going to go with a Pitt one. Like, I never get to talk about this movie, and I remember loving it. It's one of those ones that, like, it's a very much, you know, like I talked about on Biff Radio, like, at the end of the day, we're all fucking people, and it's Babel.
Ooh, yes.
Like, you know, there's all these four stories, they're all connected, and it just, like, it just shows the way, like, you know, if you just do something a little bit different, like, the whole world can fucking change.
Yeah.
Next, I'm gonna go with one of the best kid movies or performances ever. What's Ian Gilbert great?
Yeah. You know what's so crazy? Real quick about that one. Apparently, they were worried about him because he was so like invested in this character. And. And like when they cut, like they went to like check on him or whatever, and he was just like, "Yeah, what's up?" Like,
I'm good.
To be like 18 or whatever, and to be like, oh shit, like we better like make sure he's good. And he was just like so invested in that character that they were like, "Whoa, we're not used to seeing somebody like get into character that well."
Yeah,
and for somebody that young to do that, and like. That's insane. It's just insane.
Yeah. But it shows signs of greatness too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, as soon as he did that, they were like, oh yeah, this kid's different.
Uh-huh.
All right. What else you got, Drew?
I got two movies and they're both great and they're both so different that I don't know, like, one's got a little bit of a grittiness to it, the other one's just so polished and beautiful. I think I'm gonna go with that one. I'm gonna go Legends of the Fall.
Yes. Big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Anthony Hopkins, Anthony Quinn.
That was really like kind of his jump, right?
Yeah.
Legends.
Yeah. I'd say so. Yeah.
And like I think it unfairly was treated as a, you know, a romance. I mean, as much as it was, it's a very much a family movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
no doubt.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I felt like it got treated way too much like a chick flick, and because it was like when he was, it was still when he was new and he was like fucking sexiest man alive, you know. So everybody's like, "Oh, it's one of those," but like, it's a good fucking movie.
Yeah, good pick. It's
and
a major
fuck him fight a bear. Hey.
Good point.
You want me to draft your movie? Have somebody fight a bear. All right.
That's a good criteria.
Yeah.
I have some dumb ones like that. I'll be scrolling on fucking, you know, whatever streaming app, and I'll see like, I'm like, oh, Gordon Liu. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. If Gordon Liu's in it. All right. Yep.
That's all I need.
That means that's all I need. I know what kind of fight scenes are in there. I'm down. I'm gonna watch that. Oh, John Malkovich is in it. It's gonna be weird.
Yeah. Exactly.
after you do your picks, I got a weird thing that we'll have to talk through because I didn't realize something.
So all right.
I'll leave it at that before you do your three.
Okay, so, all right. I mean, this one is so often overlooked, and I think it's because it came off of, you're coming off of two big fucking, like, you got Titanic. And then you got the Man in the Iron Mask, which was also weirdly big with teens. It was like a Camelot style movie. But at that point, if he's in it, young women are showing up to see it. But it's a Danny Boyle movie called The Beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beach is the one that I was having a hard time not taking because I saw that in theaters. I fucking loved it. From that moment on, I was anything Leo's in, I'm all about.
Yeah, and
Beach was the movie that did that for me.
And Danny Boyle,
Danny Boyle. Yeah. Yeah, like Danny Boyle's a great fucking director.
Oh,
man.
Danny Boyle, yeah.
great movie. I think another one of those movies I think that just gets lost in the sea of fucking mass content.
Yes,
but still a really good, great performances. A really good movie to look at, and Danny Boyle directs the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Fuck. I do like that one. Yeah, you know, I'm going to take that one because that's another one where I'm like, I don't think it gets the it doesn't get the rub it deserves. Killing Them Softly.
Oh yeah.
That's an entertaining fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's good in it. Everybody in that movie's good. It's fun to watch.
Oh gosh, I know.
I'm gonna go with
man, I feel like
oh shit. Yeah, I mean this is a Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise in the same fucking movie.
Yeah.
Interview with the Vampire.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. He didn't he didn't love how that whole thing went down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of sour feelings that came off of that movie.
Right. Well, and supposedly it was like he was in the dark all the time. He had to like hang upside down so that he could get the vein popping.
Yep.
And he was just saying it was a miserable experience. The person that wrote it didn't really like him up front, and
yep.
he found out about it. So like, I can imagine just like, and this is your big fucking role, you know.
There was a lot of egos in that
breakout.
Movie
yeah.
Yeah.
You look at that cast. That's a lot of fucking yeah. egos. One movie, man. Yeah. You got those two. You got Antonio Banderas. Christian Slater. Like, there's a lot of big fucking, a lot of big heads in that movie.
It's true.
But it's a great movie. It's a really good, like these are big.
Yeah, it's turned into kind of a class, like one of yeah. the best vampire movies of all time. So.
Yeah, it's beloved. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah, we did it.
All right. So.
Andy.
The weird thing.
I think Brad won on the back end. That's where I see it.
So here's the weird thing. I don't know how to credit this.
It was a tie.
Brad Pitt apparently was, it says in the filmography that he was in The Departed. I don't fucking remember.
No,
that.
He produced it.
Okay, so
he's like an executive producer or whatever.
Well, like it says. So it looks like he was going to be in it, and then he had to pull out, and then he ended up being a producer. So does he get points?
No, he's not in it.
No,
He's not.
No, because he
does. Okay. You weren't in a movie.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's not in a single frame of that movie.
Yeah, it's probably just a plan B. Probably helped.
Okay, so let's see.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, man, Plan B does Lego Masters, so that all, you know.
That is, they do a lot of shit.
Yeah. Dude.
Plan B is a fucking, like I don't want to say it this way, but I like definitely like a quantity over quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff they produce.
All right. So Leo was in 14 movies we picked.
Okay.
Brad.
I guess if you produce enough shit.
Yeah. Brad was in 17 movies.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Brad got 45.5 total. And Leo got 50.
Wow.
So Leo is the winner on the hands of essentially
I think he had the second round. Yeah.
He stole the second round by himself with Django, The Revenant, and Departed. And so he got 18 for that versus like the third round Brad got 15 for when he swept it with 7, Fight Club, and Snatch.
Yeah.
So, and they tied in the first round with 14 each. So, and then Leo also stole the fourth round completely. So the second and the fourth round was all Leo. And Brad got the third round and then the sixth round.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's kind of what I expected where yeah. Brad had a little bit more movies, but Leo just has kind of the higher quality of best movies, I would say.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So that makes sense. Cause I do think that Leo is the better actor. As much as I love Brad,
mm-hmm.
I think with the two of them, Brad has steeped himself in producing to a point where that's probably a pretty sizable income for him.
Yeah,
and so he has that option where he's afforded the ability to just be like, I don't really have to act.
Yeah,
if I don't feel like.
Here's the thing. If Brad Pitt got the credit for the producer, he would have won by a half a point. That's how close these fucking guys
are. No shit.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question, because I was like, oh, how does this count?
Yeah. That's like, wild.
That is so crazy.
Whew.
What a battle. What a battle. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. Should I read the teams off, I guess, or do we just leave it with the point totals?
I think we just leave it with the points. You kind of went through.
Yeah. I mean, you got a winner. We got a winner. That's really what matters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got
Leo wins.
What a battle.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that is the type of battle that we hope for this Sunday. You know,
Draft Pot sponsored by the Super Bowl.
That's right. And tune in for Rihanna at halftime. You know that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Well, love you, bitch.
Well, that's our show. Tune in next week for another episode of The Draft Podcast. Bye-bye.